Welcome to a SWAT review from ReverseThieves.com. In these short podcasts, we discuss the first episode of new shows in the anime season. This time, we're looking at the first episode of Record of Grand Crest War from A1 Pictures and streaming on Crunchyroll. And this is kind of a not quite classic fantasy anime, but it is from someone who knows classic, because it's from one of the people who originally wrote the Record of Lotus War novels. So this is another series that he has written. Obviously, there was a lot of people involved with Lotus, but he was a main person.
And this is in the same world and universe of Lotus. It's just...
It is? Oh, I didn't know that part.
Yeah. Once again, it's easy to forget that, like, essentially Lotus is, like, the Australia of that universe. It's, like, off to the side, and, like, it's, like, pretty much where they send their criminals and nobodies. And that's why they had the original story take place there. But apparently, like, the main setting... Also, where, like, Louis...
Wait, but there's holy knights and stuff on Lotus.
Well, I mean, I feel like, once again, Australia is not filled with nothing but criminals.
Oh, you mean it's sort of started that way, and then it's... Okay, got it.
You know, eventually people decide, I guess we gotta have some kind of government here. It's actually like a podunk part of... Basically, the setting is Sword World. What the actual name of the planet is, I don't remember. But it's like a podunk part of that world. I'm not sure this is like the biggest or most influential continent in that world. But it's definitely on one of the more important ones. Just because it ain't Lotus. Even though, once again, that's what most people in the West would think of when they think of this universe.
And it's about a mage named Suluka, who she's called a rainbow mage. And although she's missing, like, I think she said she only has 6 colors or something like that. And she kind of starts the series going to this alliance/wedding, and it's this big to-do. And in the middle of the ceremony, chaos starts coming out, and the demon lord appears and rains down some destruction on the leaders of these two alliances, and sort of like breaks the whole thing up and sends everything into like disarray.
I am a little curious. I mean, that lady who was supposed to be married to the guy seemed really quick to be like, wedding off since our parents were killed. Time for war.
Well, maybe she didn't want to get married in the first place.
Or I wonder if possibly, you know,
she's in cahoots.
Yeah, like she's the one who basically, I mean, maybe she didn't want to get married and...
This was the best option out, Al.
Wow, you know, that's pretty... That dude must have been a real dirtbag. She was like, I wanted to kill my parents and send this into war. The last thing I want to do is ever spend another day in my life with that asshole.
I think that's going to prove out over the course of the season. So
I just wonder if maybe she was involved. Like, maybe she was the one who summoned...
Or she could be possessed, or...
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Lots of different options.
I feel like it was really quick. It wasn't like there was like some evidence that like somebody had done it. It just seems like she was really quick for that decision, but it's neither here nor there.
And then the other sort of part that we know so far about the world is this is mainly kind of ruled over by lords with crests, and those are like magic crests. And they each have their own little kind of, like, fiefdoms. But there's, like, a lot of rules that... There's just, like... You could tell that there was, like, kind of, like, a lot of bureaucracy and rules involved with how these lords run things. And they have someone that they ally with. And then they make contracts with mages. So there's, like, a lot of rules.
Like, in fact, when it starts... Because Suluka tries to prevent the demon from materializing during the wedding. You know, since she doesn't have enough time to, like, verbalize it, somebody stops her from doing it, and, you know, the demon gets summoned. So we only see her years later when she's going to go to be an apprentice.
Oh, has it been years?
or at least some amount of time later. Actually, yeah, she doesn't look that much older.
I wasn't sure. Obviously, we kind of jump to her, like, going to...
Now that you mention it, I don't know how much time has passed. But yeah, she is going to apprentice with this guy, but she has to basically go through hostile territory. And so apparently, if you're not formally working for Lord, or at least somebody's apprentice, you basically have, like, free passage until you've made an allegiance. But she gets jumped by these guys who are like, well, if you're on your way to be this guy's apprentice, that's like 60% of the way towards being an allegiant, so we're going to kill you as if you were a combatant.
And before she even really lifts a finger, and she doesn't really seem fazed at all by this. She's like, all right, whatever, dudes, I will take care of this. But before she can, a would-be hero named Theo shows up and sort of, like, barrels in to fight these guys. And, you know, he's a very, like, he's a headstrong, not really think it through kind of guy. I don't know if we've ever seen a character like this before.
You know, you're going to mention Parn in Lotus War, but you know what this scene actually is? Almost idea for idea.
Gowrie.
Yes.
No. I mean, yes, I was going to say Parn for obvious reasons, but no. There's a lot of Slayers, actually. I was going to bring that up later, but let's do it now. There's a lot of Slayers, because Celica is definitely, like, she's like, oh, I can use this guy. Like, she's clearly conning him. Not as, like, it's not a comedy or anything, like, Slayers, but she has a little Lena Inverse about her, I think.
Because she's basically, all right, you're going to go, and you're going to take on, because essentially, the Crest users are like non-fatal Highlanders. If they duel each other and get the other guy to submit, they can take their crest and add it to their own.
And then you get their kingdom or any, you know, their lands and everything.
So yeah, this guy who was basically essentially a crest user with no land when he defeats the dude who sent out the knights to take out Celica. Under Celica's orders, she basically gains this guy's crest and his properties, and she's like, yes.
And she bonds with him or whatever. Mm. She forms a contract with him, so now that's like some sort of formal agreement there. But yeah, she's like, excellent, exactly as planned, now do everything that I say. There's definitely a bit of the con woman about her, or she certainly has her own agenda. The only thing that's throwing that off for me a little bit was how at the end of the episode, it had that very, like, I'm your magical love interest moment, where she turns around and, like, the wind, and she's like, you just have to trust me, or something like that. And I was like, what? No, that, who are you?
Because these are based, I assume, also on Let's Plays. Like, essentially, these were people who were playing a role-playing game, who are also professional writers. Kind of like Wild Cards, if you've ever seen that, of George R. R. Martin.
I thought you were talking about the anime Wild Cards.
No, Kate, I hate Wild Cards.
I know. I was like, why is this coming up right now?
I meant
I had no idea that was a Let's Play.
George R. R. Martin did a Let's Play, essentially, of superhero stuff called Wild Cards.
No, I know that, but that is not the first thing that came to mind. So I think now we have to put into the world that Wild Cards the anime is actually based on a Let's Play.
This is a very boring Let's Play of some shitty players.
Anyway.
Like, at points I feel like I could sense the people playing the characters, like, the person playing Celica is like, all right, I'm going to take on this combat encounter. Oh, this guy wants to do it. Ah, fine. I don't want to waste any spell slots.
Well, interestingly enough, I don't think we get to see her actually use magic in the first episode, do we? Because she gets interrupted at the beginning. Theo doesn't, like, comes in and is like, I'm going to do it. And then
She doesn't interfere with the fight because I forgot. There was some formality, so she didn't want to. It was supposed to be, like, one-on-one, so she didn't participate in that. And the only magic she does is when she bonds with him.
Yeah, so we haven't actually gotten to see what her magic is. I mean, we know that she's capable, but we just... because she's a high-level mage. We just
look, Kate. Anything.
I just thought it was interesting.
She only has so many spell slots a day. She's not just going to be throwing around willy nilly on trash mobs when there's some warrior
she can use.
Yes. And her, like, ninja monk dude as well.
Oh, yeah. I like how we just spent most of the episode trying to figure out, like, what his class was. She has this driver slash friend slash assistant slash rogue assassin person. We don't know.
Yeah, no, I thought he might also be monk, because he's like demon sealer. So I'm thinking maybe he's more like a monk or like a ninja or something, like, or like some kind of like cleric thief hybrid, like, or like, I'm an assassin, but an assassin of evil creatures, something like that.
The other thing I thought was interesting, since now that you've told me that it's actually related to Lodos, is that it feels different, not just tone-wise or anything, but sort of the magic and the way that it is set up feels different, and we didn't see any sort of, like, fantasy creatures. You know, there's no elves. I mean, not at least it's episode one, so totally could change. But it and the magic itself felt a little bit different. It felt maybe a little more modern, not quite as old school as Lodos. Do you feel that, or do you get what I'm saying?
I wonder if the continent they're on is more segregated than Lodos, where, once again, since it's kind of this, like, thing where people were just thrown, I wonder how much it's more people just had to live where they were, and had to band together, because Lodos is such a pit that we just ended up working together, but maybe the races are a little more segregated on this continent. Like, I don't know enough about the actual setting, but yeah, it is a little unusual that we didn't see, like, any, like you said, any dwarves or elves or anything. I mean, I hear that D-Lit girl was popular, so I feel like...
That was so long ago, Al.
And I don't remember anybody looking super not human from the main cast of the opening.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. It just, it has a little bit of a different feel.
Mm-hmm.
My major complaint is Celica's stupid outfit in the show.
Which is funny, because we were discussing this. She makes a big deal that she's like super hesitant to be the apprentice of the guy she's originally going to bond with. Because,
not apprentice, right? Because it's a contract between mage and a lord.
Yeah. So the guy she was originally going to contract with, apparently he was a bit of like a perv, and he sent her that outfit. And so she was almost like, maybe I should just wait. I know this is like a big deal and he's like pretty high up there. That's why I'm like, my family arranged it. But maybe I should just run away from this and hope that, like, they can get somebody better. So you're like, all right. So she's still in that outfit because she really doesn't ever have time to change. She isn't going to be like, they're going to attack this lord's castle and in the middle of the duel, hey, can I borrow your bathroom for a second? I need to change it to something. Let's talk.
Although I think everyone would have understood.
But we see her in that same dumb outfit in, like, the opening. And, like, they occasionally have her other outfit. So maybe she's not going to be wearing that all the time. But for as much as she protests about the outfit being dumb when she got it, and as much as we were like, it seems like it sticks around.
Yeah, and I would complain that it was dumb no matter what reason she gave. But if you're just going to make it stick around and you're just going to make her wear it anyway, then just don't say that she hates it or something. It was just like a really weird choice.
See, what you don't understand, Kate, is that outfit has amazing bonuses.
That has to be it.
Like, your average mage outfit is like +2 or +3. This is like +10. It's all over the place. She's like, I don't want to wear it, but just the stat boost is so good. I just can't wear anything else.
That's episode 2. And that will be the good explanation that we get. I thought it was like an okay first episode. I didn't think it was spectacular. The animation is a little like at times, but I feel like it could have potential.
Yeah I think there was a reason that, like, Lodos starts in the middle of that, like, big dragon fight and then has you go back and find out about everything else. It's the classic dungeon crawl with the classic dragon, which I feel like might have, maybe it would have felt a little too derivative, but I feel like that might have been what they wanted, you know, go to like some big fight and then go back and show how they got there.
I guess it seemed like that's what they were sort of doing with the demon at the event sort of thing. But yeah, I don't know. It just didn't feel as something about it wasn't like super memorable. I think I'm going to give it a little to warm up, but...
Yeah, I mean, I think it established that Celica's on the ball and that, you know, she's observant. She at least has, like, some lore of the world than, like...
And seems to have some sort of grand scheme.
But it's a little more like, this is what happens, and just one of our main characters happens to be there. Once again, it feels like, and in my backstory, I was at the ceremony that started this whole war. All right, fine, that's good. All right, you can make that part of your backstory. That doesn't hurt anything. Probably actually gives you more incentive to join the main storyline. All right, I like it. I'll put it in there.
Yeah, I guess it came off as a little standard. And I think it needs a couple episodes to see if it can distinguish itself in some way before making a full judgment.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to another episode. You can visit us online at ReverseThieves.com and follow us on Twitter @ReverseThieves, @NartakiRT, and @HisuiRT.